good to see everyone out this morning. We're thankful that you're here with us and hope that you've prepared your hearts and minds for the study of God's Word for a few moments. Perhaps you caught a sneak peek at the title of the lesson this morning if you watched the introduction slides that we play between Bible class and worship services, and you saw this morning we're going to be talking about, or the name of the sermon is, How to Listen to a Sermon. You're thinking probably, oh goody. I talked to my buddy, a couple of buddies actually, and told them what I was preaching on this morning. I said, does that title sound boring? And they're like, yeah, it does. It doesn't really jump out and grab you. So I've decided to change the title of my sermon to How to Auscultate to a Harangue. And if nothing else, you may not understand what that means, but maybe that sentence there's jumped out and grabbed you just a little bit more. But that's really just a fancy way for saying how to listen to a sermon. Now, I will admit that's probably not the most productive 30 minutes of time that went into preparation for this lesson, checking the thesaurus and finding those big words, but here we are anyway. This is simply a means of communicating what we want to consider for a few moments from God's Word. And some of you are probably thinking, and if you've got sarcastic comments, I'll be happy to hear them after you hear the lesson on the way out the door. But you're probably thinking, okay, I think I've got this down. There are some in this building who, as we consider this idea of listening to sermons, have been doing so probably twice as long or longer than I've been alive. But I hope to be able to present some things this morning for your consideration in light of God's Word that may help you improve in this area. See, in reality, there are some important things to consider when it comes to listening to lessons. I consider myself to be a good listener personally because I spend so much of my time standing and delivering lessons and studies from God's Word. As a preacher, I understand how nice it is to have an audience that listens. And let me just go ahead and brag on this congregation for just a moment. It's obvious this congregation is full of good listeners, and that's attested by the fact that at least 50% of you are awake after I give the invitation. And so that is a testament to your patience and your ability to listen well to a sermon that you're able to stand up and sing at the song of encouragement that you haven't fallen asleep. But as speaking so often, I know it's encouraging to me to know that there are people that are there with open Bibles and that are listening to actually what is being said. Because oftentimes you can kind of gauge your audience and you can tell if they're with you or if they're not with you. And let me say, in this age of digital reality, it's nice to hear the rustling of pages to know that people are following along and considering God's Word when we study. But in preparation for this lesson, what I found out is, although I thought I was a good listener, I'm not near as good of a listener as I thought I was. So I hope that as we consider four things this morning on how we can improve in this area, that you'll give thought and you'll open your mind to some of the things that we're considering. The first thing that really begins with listening well to a sermon, we need to have both a prepared mind and a prepared body. When does a sermon start? Did it start just about 3 minutes ago whenever I stood up and opened my Bibles and opened my mouth and began preaching or began teaching? Is that when the sermon started? Or did it start earlier than that? Did it start perhaps Monday or Tuesday when I sat down in my office and opened up my Bibles and prepared my lesson or started preparing my lesson for the week? Well, I believe it starts before that. Consider the statement made by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Where speaking to the Ephesians, he says, pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Next to Jesus Christ, Paul would probably be the most efficient and effective preacher of the gospel that we have knowledge of from our Bibles. But yet, despite his effectiveness in the kingdom, as he writes this letter to the Ephesians, he takes time to say, guys, I want y'all to pray for me, specifically in regard to the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Prayer works. James tells us the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the men who lead in public prayer here do a wonderful job with this. Almost always whenever someone stands up to lead, as John has mentioned countless times in the prayers that he's offered, and all of the men here just about that lead, you do, whenever you pray, give consideration to the work of this church and the elders, and to me as well as the local preacher, local minister here at this congregation. Let me just say, hearing that really instills confidence and instills comfort and encouragement to me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate those of you whenever you pray publicly and everyone who prays along with you when you remember me in your prayers, because if you got the Apostle Paul, the preacher, asking for prayers on behalf of the brethren in the work of preaching the gospel, let me say, I need them tenfold. And so whenever I hear those words mentioned as you lift up your voices to God collectively and individually, I appreciate very much the prayers that are offered on my behalf. And if my preaching's done anything for anyone here, if you've ever been encouraged by a lesson, or you've ever learned something new, or if you've ever been drawn closer to God, or you've ever been helped through a hard time, then know that that's not necessarily me, but that's the working of God answering the prayers that have been offered for those who pray on my behalf. But that's really where the sermon starts, and so I thank you for doing that, and I'll encourage you to do that as well, in your private prayers as well, to remember me that I might, as Paul would say, with utterance and boldness, make known the mystery of the gospel, both here in this work and with others that I come across. But it doesn't just start there with the prayer. We have to move beyond that if we want to listen well to sermons. We need to both have a prepared mind, but we also need to have a prepared body. We need to be well rested whenever it comes to listening to sermons. Now, I know this is something a lot of us have control over. At the same time, with a 2-week-old baby, I know this is something that a lot of us might not have a lot of control over. Whether your circumstances be perhaps a child that might be disruptive to your sleep, or medication that you take that may perhaps make you sleepy or keep you awake at night, I know that there are circumstances that can sometimes make arriving here on a Sunday morning perky and fresh and ready to listen. I know that circumstances can make that sometimes challenging. But at the same time, I know that a lot of us have control over how well rested we are when we come to listen and to study and to worship. I think back to my college days, and sleeping wasn't something I did a lot of back in my college days. Remember one particular trip that me and some friends made to Texarkana, and as I think back about my grades, which weren't, by the way, stupendous, but I think about all of the grades that I made that were less than satisfactory. Always, it was whenever I took an early class. And like I say, I didn't really have a very good sleeping habit whenever I was in college. One particular trip I remember, we left for Texarkana that evening, and we got back sometime about 7 o'clock the morning, and I had an 8 o'clock class. And I had the bright idea, well, okay, I'm going to lay down. I'm going to take a 45-minute nap, and then I'll get up and go to class. Well, I must have sleepwalked to class, and I must have sat there because I had my name down for being in attendance, but I can't remember a word that the teacher said, just because when I arrived, my body was not prepared to listen. I wasn't very well rested. And think about the words of Paul, and you're probably wondering, how in the world is he going to tie a passage about arriving to church to listen to a sermon well rested from the Bible? But Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Now, I do understand that the context of this passage, as Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, is that in their life as Christians, that they live a life that is alert and sober, and that they may not be sleeping, so that when the Lord comes, they will be prepared, they will be alert, they will be living in such a way that God might find them ready. But at the same time, I got a feeling that Paul probably would not recommend just sleeping through the sermon. The last guy that fell asleep whenever Paul was preaching fell out of a window and broke his neck. So a lesson to those, perhaps, who would give consideration to arriving and think, well, I'll just catch a little nap whenever the preacher gets up to speak. The mentality that we want to walk away with is this. In anything we do in service to God, we need to be awake. We need to be aware. We need to be sober. We need to be looking circumspectly. And yes, if I stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning and expect to arrive at Bible study and do well and pay attention and my mind be fresh and sharp as we give our devotion to God and His Word, I may find myself challenged. And so I need to be well rested. And doing so will help me gain that much more whenever we listen to God's Word being taught. But a prepared soul will also listen with perspective. We need to do the best we can to prepare both our mind and our bodies to the listening of God's Word being preached. Because when God's Word is taught, what you are hearing, or what you should be hearing, is the voice of God. He deserves that much respect. And now when I say this, please don't get me wrong. I am by no means God speaking to you in person. However, whenever I open up my mouth and whenever I read from God's Word, God is in essence speaking through me. And let me show you where I find myself in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you want to turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Please don't take this the wrong way. Whenever you listen to a sermon, what you should be hearing is the voice of God. But I'll show you where I am in 2 Corinthians 4:7, just so there's no misunderstanding. Paul, as he speaks of himself as a preacher or minister of the gospel, and as he speaks about the message, he makes this analogy to help the readers understand that he too Although speaking on behalf of God as the voice of God, he in and of himself was nothing. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure. The treasure is the gospel message. The treasure is the word of God that we read. We have this treasure, and here's me in the earthen vessel, so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will not be from ourselves. And so when I say, when I preach, or when anyone preaches, any of the men who stand up, or anyone that you may hear deliver a sermon from God's word, you're hearing the voice of God. That person is just the vessel that God uses. The treasure are the things from God's word that is coming from their mouth. And so when I say you need to listen with perspective, what I mean is you need to listen as if you're hearing the words of God, because in essence you are. Now, that's not a reflection on the speaker, the individual, the vessel. That's a reflection on the treasure within that is being poured out in the things that he's saying. And as I consider this idea, I think back to a gospel meeting I attended about maybe it was a couple months back. But as I sat there, and sometimes we as listeners get in the habit of over-listening, and we start listening for the wrong things. And the preacher got up, and I noticed about his sermon, it wasn't terribly well organized, and the lesson itself wasn't that enchanting, as I found it, simply from the perspective of a listener. And I found my mind wandering back and forth during the course of the lesson, and found it challenging to listen to him. As I reflect on that, I realize I was a poor listener. I was listening for all of the wrong things. In fact, I hope as you listen to this morning, and as you listen to other sermons in the future, you'll listen better than I did in that particular occasion, because whenever he opened his Bible, whenever he read, that was God's voice that was speaking through his words. But me, that was wasted on me, because I was looking at all of the wrong things as I was listening. I was more concerned examining the vessel. And you know what I missed? Because I was looking at the vessel in such great detail, I missed the treasure. And when we don't listen well, or we look at the wrong things, or listen to the wrong things, or pay attention to the voice, or the entertainment, or the stories, or anything physical, if you look at the vessel, you're missing the treasure. And so we need to listen with a prepared mind and body, and we need to listen with perspective. Now, I'm not advocating that kind of preaching, but what I'm saying is that a good listener will get something from even the dullest of lessons, because hopefully God's word will at the very least be read, and they can reflect on that. I'm told of a preacher that was holding a gospel meeting, and while he was there, there were some unruly youths in the back that were making their voices heard, so much so that it had come to be disruptive to the word of God that he was preaching. And he called them out on it, and he said, "Hey, I don't know what y'all are talking about up here, but we're studying from the word of God. And unless what you're talking about is more important, then you need to be quiet and you need to listen." And I know the preacher, and I know it wasn't out of a heart of pride or selfishness or, "Hey, look at me," that he said this, but it was a preacher that preached with perspective, and he understood that the things he was speaking were words from God and that they deserve careful consideration and not disruption. Now, that's not to say preachers don't make mistakes. It's not to say that preachers don't ever misspeak, because they do. But whenever Paul went to the Galatians, Galatians 4:14, and he talks about his encounter with them as he preached the gospel, listen to how he refers to their reception of him. He says, "You receive me as a preacher of the gospel," not as a man necessarily, but as a preacher of the gospel, "as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself." Why? Because he came bearing the words of God. And so the people received him, as he says here, as Christ Jesus. That's not elevating the man, that's elevating the treasure within. When God speaks, we need to be listening. We do well to listen with a prepared mind and a prepared body. We also need to listen, if we want to listen well, with an open Bible. This may seem somewhat of an obvious point, but it's something that good Bible students will do when they're listening to a preacher. And I used to be really against all of the digital readers, like, and there's many here that use their iPads and their Kindles and various electronic devices to follow along during the course of the lesson. I've seen perhaps people get distracted by those, and for a long time I really didn't advocate that. That was until I got an iPad and I started using it and realized I can carry this Bible around with me, and it's only that thick and it doesn't weigh anything, and I can jump around faster than I could in an ordinary Bible. And it's at that point in time that my mind was swayed and focused more upon what it needed to be. That when we listen to God's word, and while a preacher would rather hear nothing more than the rustling pages of a Bible, knowing that people are turning and following along, and they're listening, they're paying attention, and that they've got their Bibles open, whatever type of Bible that you may use, you need to have it open. if you're going to listen well to a sermon. And I appreciate that because whenever I preach, sometimes, from time to time, if I've got perhaps a verse that's wrong up on the screen, I know we've got listeners here with open Bibles because I'll usually hear it 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times from different people that, hey, you had the wrong reference up there. And nobody likes criticism. I don't consider that criticism. I like that because what it tells me is that there are people here that are listening with an open Bible that checked the reference and what I read and where you were at in your Bible didn't match up. And so it tells me that you're listening with an open Bible. By the way, don't bother double checking me on these because I triple and quadruple check my passages to make sure all of my references were right. So you're not going to get me on that on this particular lesson. But it's important that our Bibles be open whenever we listen. You know what happens? You know what kind of listener you become if you don't have your Bibles open whenever the preacher's preaching? You become a listener that says to your friends, hey, this is what my preacher says. Okay? Suppose that you're trying to convince someone that baptism is essential for salvation. How convincing would you sound when you go to them and say, my best argument is, my preacher said baptism is essential for salvation. Versus turning to Mark 16:16 and reading those words and saying, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, of the two, I don't know about you, but if I was that person that stood in opposition to that belief, the passage where I read the words of Jesus would be much more convincing than if someone came to me and said, my preacher said such and such. And you apply that to anything. But that's what kind of listener you become if you don't listen with an open Bible. When I was preaching at one of the little churches I worked with before here, there was some disagreement between me and the Bible class teacher in one of the Bible studies, and people were expressing their own opinions and their own views, and there was a sweet little old lady I just think the world of. She came up to me after the class, and she said, Zach, it doesn't matter what they say, we're with you wherever you stand. Now, as much as I appreciate the loyalty and the devotion, that is not the attitude that we as Christians need to have when we listen to sermons. Your loyalty should not be with the preacher themselves. Rather, it should be with God's Word. And if you listen with an open Bible, you will not make that mistake. Go ahead and turn over to Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. Jim's prayer really stood out to me a lot last week because he prayed essentially what this verse here communicates to us. He prayed that when we listen, or when we live, as we study, that we might be like the Bereans that are mentioned here, that are noble-minded. And look at why Paul, or Luke rather, gives this compliment to this group of people. As he's preaching the gospel, Luke communicates, as Paul was at Berea, he said, those at Berea were more noble-minded than those at Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now, we could comment on the attitude with which one listens to God's Word. But I want to consider what they did when they heard the Word being taught. To ensure that they were being taught the truth, what did they do? Well, they had their scriptures open. It's talking about the Old Testament. Now, who are they listening to? They're listening to the inspired Apostle Paul. But yet, they're not going to take anything for granted. They open up the scriptures to ensure that the things Paul is saying to them, despite the fact that he was perhaps the most successful preacher and evangelist, despite the fact he possessed the Holy Spirit, as he preached and taught and did all of those things, relaying God's will to man, they opened the scriptures. They ensured the things that they were being taught indeed was in harmony with what God had previously revealed. They didn't take anything for granted. They checked Paul against what the Scripture said to be sure that what they were hearing was the truth. When we're listening to a sermon, we need to have an open Bible and we need to ensure that we're listening biblically. You cannot listen biblically, you cannot listen effectively if you do not have an open Bible when you're listening to the sermon being brought. And here's why I say that. A couple of weeks ago, after the presidency election and all of that was taking place, as I was preaching the sermon, Jesus is King, no matter who is president, I made the statement in my mind that politics have absolutely no place in the sermon. However, what came out of my mouth was sermons have no place in the pulpit. And several people brought that to my attention. And that was very obviously not what I intended. What happened was I had something in my mind, but it didn't make it all the way out of my mouth. And I didn't say it and communicate it in the way that I had intended to. And there have been times when I've misspoken, and that was a relatively irrelevant point or place to misspeak. But what happened if there might be visitors in the audience, and they're hearing the gospel taught or preached for the first time, and it came to something doctrinal? And although I would never do so intentionally, what if in an instance like that I were to misspeak and communicate to someone perhaps that had never heard the gospel being preached or were of a different view of interpretation of what Scripture said? What if I happened to misspeak there? Well, then I'd need people to come not only to me and correct my miscommunication, but also to the people that were listening to say, hey, that's not what he meant. That's not what this passage really means. If you don't have your Bible open, then you can only go based off of what I'm saying. And so I hope you understand the importance of having your Bibles open. Because although I may never, I will never intentionally mislead anyone, I may misspeak. But the Bible does warn in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, where Peter, as he writes to these Christians and he's spoken about the Word of God, he says, not everybody that preaches the gospel is going to do so with the intention of bringing people to Jesus and with revealing the Word of God as it is communicated by him. He said, false prophets are going to arise among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you that will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying, if I turn my page, I can finish reading this, the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. You know, we live in a world, unfortunately, where everyone's intention is not to preach the truth. You turn on the TV on Sunday mornings, you see those televangelists, and they're taking a few key passages that they use. And they'll talk about if you give to them, if you send them your check or you send them your contribution, then God is going to bless you. And on the surface, while you read those passages, someone that has no idea of the Bible, someone that doesn't open up and read the greater context of what the author is saying, they might be misled so that they think this is what God's really saying. And so all the more important, although I would never do anything, there are those in this world that would mislead you if you don't open your Bibles. But an open Bible will take care of that. An open Bible will help someone see when they are being misled. So if you want to effectively listen to a sermon, you need to have an open Bible. You need to have an open Bible. Thirdly, you need to have an open mind. It is important that Christians be open-minded. Now, let me explain what I mean. I don't mean that we accept everything and anything a person says. And speaking frankly, I think that this is something that, especially within the church, we need to hear. This is something especially I myself need to hear. Here's how it usually goes. I'm speaking to someone and we're perhaps talking about a scripture, and they bring up something that fundamentally I disagree with. Immediately, when I understand where they're coming from, rather than listening to what they say and reading the passages that they're bringing to my attention, I start forming in my mind this counter-argument of what I'm going to say in response to what I believe is wrong. That is not how we need to listen. We don't need to communicate with other people like that. We need to listen with an open mind. See, our natural reaction to anything different, to anything that's non-traditional oftentimes, especially when it comes to religion, is to just shut it down. Shut it out. Don't give it a chance. Let me say, it's outright foolish to reject something that maybe even we disagree with without listening and considering what the Bible has to say about it. Even if we think we already know, we would do well to listen and open our mind and allow that person to speak to us, or allow perhaps the preacher to speak to us and give consideration to the things that he's saying. And yes, bring them back to God's Word. Go over to Acts chapter 22. This is a prime demonstration of the danger of listening with a closed mind. Acts 22, just a little bit later. Paul is recounting his conversion to this group of Jews that just previously had tried to kill him. And just a little background, these people, who are Jews that are listening, they're from the land of Asia. And they tried to kill Paul because they thought that he had taken a Greek or a Roman citizen into the temple. They misunderstood something that they saw. Trophimus was with Paul. They thought Paul took him into the temple. They thought Paul had defiled and disobeyed the command of God. And so they tried to kill him. And here Paul is giving a defense in regard to the events that's taking place. And he starts recounting to them his conversion. We come to this point in verse 17. Let's pick up our reading. As Paul is speaking to these Jews, he said, "It happened as I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' And I said, Lord, they themselves understand the one synagogue to another I am being used and beaten by those in prison, those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing approving and watching on the coats of those who were slaying him. And he said, go, this is God speaking to Paul, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Listen to their response. Verse 22, they listened to him up to that statement, and they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And Paul speaks to them for several minutes, and for a long time they're with him. As he opens his mouth in Hebrew, they're listening to what Paul has to say. He tells them about Jesus. They listen. He tells them about the church. They listen. He tells them about Jesus' mission to take the gospel to the Gentiles. They close down. They refuse to open their mind to the possibility that the gospel would be taken to the Gentiles. This is what happens when you refuse to listen with an open mind. Let me just say, these Jews were probably men like me and you. They had a good knowledge of the Scripture. They knew a lot about the Word of God. However, they did not know it all. Because if they would have known it all, then they would have brought to mind passages like this. Hosea 2, verse 23, where Jesus through the prophet, or God through the prophet Hosea says, I will sow her for myself in the land. I will have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. I will say to those who were not my people, the Gentiles, I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And in Zechariah 2, 10 and 11, sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion. Behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations, not just the Jews, many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. And I will dwell in their midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. It becomes pretty obvious to us as we read here that God was willing to allow those other than the Jews to become his people, and that at some point in time that would be fulfilled. Paul is saying that's being fulfilled now. God told me to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But these Jews, they thought they knew it all. They formulated their response without listening open-mindedly. If they would have listened, if they would have thought, then they would have found out God's word is corroborating what Paul is saying. Even though it's non-traditional, even though it goes against the grain, that's the danger of listening with a closed mind. These passages were already there, but yet they could not be convinced because they already had their mind made up and could not entertain the possibility that they might be wrong about something. We need to make sure we want to be effective listeners. Yes, always bring it back to God's word. Yes, always consider what the preacher says in light of Scripture, but don't just because something perhaps different is said. Maybe there's passages that we haven't considered. Maybe there's ideas that break the bonds of tradition. And on the surface, we want to shut down and say, no, that can't be the case. Let's learn from the Jews here. They missed the divine revealed word of God because they listened to the words of Paul with a closed mind. And if we refuse to entertain the idea that maybe there's something we've overlooked or not considered, then we're just simply not being good Bible students. Make sure, yes, it corroborates with the word of God, but at the same time, keep your mind open. Listen critically, listen biblically, but listen with an open mind. Lastly, we do need to make one more observation, very briefly, Romans 12. You know how God does his work? Many people attribute that, as Buster gave in the invitation the other night, directly to the intervention of the Holy Spirit. But you go over to Romans 12, 1 and 2, passage we're all familiar with, where Paul talks about how we as Christians can be transformed. How is that done? Well, over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he communicates this passage or this idea to us. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, how are we as Christians transformed from this worldly mentality to the image of God? That takes place by the renewing of the mind. If your mind's not open to God's word, can it be renewed? Can you become that holy and acceptable sacrifice if you listen with a closed mind? Point is, you can't. And so it's important to bring everything back to God's word, but at the same time, to listen with an open mind, because God's word cannot work on a mind that's closed. Lastly, you can sit and listen to the best preacher in the world who speaks eloquently about the gospel, regarding how we should walk closer to God, how we should pray, how we should worship, how we should live in the world and serve God more faithfully. You can listen with a soul that's been prepared and a body and a mind that's well rested. You could hear the words coming from perhaps the greatest preacher you've ever heard or ever was. But if you don't have a spirit that is ready to act, that would be wasted on you. So if you don't listen with a ready spirit, God's word won't accomplish just a whole lot in your life, regardless in what form or how effectively it may come. Over in James chapter 1, he makes this idea known and verbalizes it in a way that's very clear to us, a passage once again that we're familiar with. But you know, if you were to listen to the words of Paul himself as he preached, and you didn't have a spirit that was ready to act, it wouldn't do you a lot of good. If you were to listen to Jesus himself as he was on this earth and as he communicated with men, in fact, there were many that listened to him, perhaps with an open mind and a ready spirit, but not a ready spirit, but with an open mind and an open scripture. Yet they did not have that one key component that James identifies here in James 1, verse 22. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. And one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. What do you look for when you listen to a sermon? To be entertained? To hear good stories? To examine the vessel and hear a good preacher? To be uplifted and educated? I hope that when you're listening, when you open up God's word, and you see the perfect law of liberty being communicated to you, that you're doing so with the intention of not just hearing and appreciating what's being said, but that you're willing and to open your heart to it, to take it in, and then allow it to change you. See, in Acts 25, we read of a man that had all of these other things in it, with the exception of this one qualification, would have been a great listener. Felix, as he listened to the Apostle Paul, said he reasoned with Paul about the Scripture, about judgment. He listened, he spoke, he called Paul back because he was interested. He was a great listener, but he did not have a ready spirit. And it comes at some point in time where you as a listener and I as a listener are called to action, where we can gain no more from listening, but we've got to hear what was being taught and preached, and it's got to be put into practice. If you don't have that ready spirit, then no matter how great the lesson may be, or no matter how effectively you've been listening up until that point, the lesson is lost on you. And when it was time for Felix to act, he said, "Go away. When I've got a convenient time, I'll call for you." And that's the last record we have of him. Sadly, Paul's sermon was wasted on one who was not ready to act. How well do you listen to sermons? If you want to know, the best thing you can really do is to look at your life. Because your life is a reflection, in part, of how well you listen to the Word of God. Do you listen well? Or do you need to start listening better? We'll close with this passage from 2 Corinthians 3 where Paul says, "You, Corinthians, are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested. You are the letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." There's a lot of people in here that have heard a lot of good preachers through the year. Most recently, Brother Harold Turner has preached here for many years. When he got up and he preached, he communicated God's word. And he wrote the things from God's word on your hearts as you listened. And you sat at the feet of Buster Bonner, and you've been instructed in God's word. And you've listened to great gospel preachers who have come and visited and worked with us on a weekly basis. Men like Mark Roberts and Don Patton and Wilson Adams and Russ Bowman and Chuck Durham. And as they preach God's word to you, they've written on your hearts the word of God. You've heard countless sermons, perhaps, but how well have you listened? So now I extend to you the Lord's invitation, just as it was God who, in a sense, through me, spoke this morning from His Word. I can't offer you my invitation because this is nothing that I can give you, but I can offer to you the Lord's invitation, where He says, as Jim mentioned in his invitation, "All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest." And if that's you this morning, then we pray that you would come accepting what God has commanded. that you would allow the things that you've heard to have been put into action by obeying the gospel and by changing your life and the way that you live. That's a step you need to take this morning, and you can come in faith and be baptized into the water that we have here provided. You can be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins as Jesus Himself commands. And you can begin applying the things that we study from God's Word as it's communicated to you through a study of God's Word and through, yes, listening on Sunday mornings to sermons. Or if you're here and you realize you've listened a lot, but you haven't paid attention real well, and you haven't allowed it to spur you into action to change, you can make that change this morning. You can start listening better. You can apply the things we've considered. If anyone here needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.